In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Nisambolo Binaka. I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia, and this is Pacific Prepared.
This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster through stories and talanoa from the Pacifica.
We take all those things and put them together so hopefully you feel more prepared for disasters.
This is all done through stories and talanoa. Tala Famatala, Olketa, Talanoa, Story from the Pacific. On today's show, on the road from Yasawa Islands in Fiji, we look at how the remote coastal communities are managing the constantly changing climate.
Also, some of the biggest advantages of being able to speak with people on the ground and face-to-face from Fiji.
And how a Solomon Islander, a farmer in the Solomon Islands, took the long road around, and it all started from memories as a young person. That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared is usually recorded between Australia and Fiji. Joe, you're still in Fiji, but you're not in Suva, though. Where exactly are you? Put this into context for us. You're in the Yasawa Islands, and we know that much, but where is that?
Yeah, I'm currently at Waia Island. We're supposed to have this recording a few hours back, but I was on Viwa Island, and due to some internet issues, we have to travel across to Waia Island, where I'm getting this excellent reception and managed to connect and be able to get this done. And the weather has been absolutely fine. It's hot, but it's lovely.
And Joe, tell me you can see the beach right now.
I can see the beach right now. Beautiful, white, sandy beaches. That's something.
Come on, give me a look. Turn your camera around. Come on, let's have a look at it. Excellent. Nice work, Joe. You're dedicated as always.
A bit like a Fred.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Joe, we've been to a few villages in the Yasawas in Fiji, and we've seen with firsthand, I suppose, the sort of struggles and the challenges that people face in these villages, trying to mitigate those impacts of climate change and rising sea levels.
Absolutely, Fred. And I'm back in the Yasawas this week. Been on three different islands, Naviti, Viwa, as well as Waia Islands. Those three islands are located towards the south, the lower part of the Yasawas. But this time, yeah, as I've mentioned before, it's located in the southern part of the Yasawa group of islands. Fred, we have seen so much. It's an absolute eyesore to see the reality faced by some of these villages, especially those in Maru, the village of Maru, located on this island called Naviti.
And Joe, you're with Asaili Ratuwara. He's from the Fiji Broadcasting Corporation's Radio Fiji 1 station.
Correct.
And also you're with a representative from the Bar Provincial Council. And you're capturing this talanoa or this storytelling from these affected communities. Is that right?
Absolutely, Fred. And we've gathered so much. Climate change is a complex topic altogether. And we also commend, we praise, and we also learn at the same time from what they always do, the practical approaches they execute at the community level to mitigate or to ensure their safety in times of disaster, especially the Asawa Islands lies along the path of some of the most deadliest and severe tropical cyclones over the past decades, Fred. Mm. Well, let's hear from what they have to say about the experiences and some key takeaways from the few islands we have covered so far this week.
Mbulabinaka, my name is Paramalamba, and I'm from the district of Wayne, the village of Yolombi, representing the Bar Provincial Council as the position of the spokesperson of the council. And I'm representing Bar Provincial Council through the visit of the Climate Change and Asawa Group. When we're discussing in regarding onto climate change, Asawa, it's not a joke if we talk about the climate change. You will experience some of the information that was given by the Novo in regarding onto the climate change that we experience in the few days in Asawa. But we'll tell you more before we have another district that we visit tomorrow. And some experience we experienced, like from yesterday, we visited a 4 village in the district of Nobiti. We briefed some of the climate impact through some village in the Nobiti district as we listen to the stories from the Turangani Koro village head headman in regarding onto the climate change. As briefing from us as a provincial council office, we look at the during this it's like a disaster, it's a disaster in regarding onto, as I've mentioned, it's not a joke. We experienced, like before, our elders, they never experienced this kind of climate change as we have experienced today. As from my side, from the Provincial Council, from us in the Asawa group, because sometimes we just experience some of the government services. They just come and take our information, especially some of the meeting. We have a different kind of meeting we have. Like, we start from the grassroots, from the village meeting, then we take it to the district meeting, from there to the provincial council meeting. But in Asawa, from now, as we raise our concern, we are happy that we are receiving, coming from the information from the Australian radio, to come and take our information in regarding onto climate change. Because some of our inquiries in regarding onto the climate change, it's only for the Fiji government. But now we are happy that Australian radio come and share our stories in regarding onto this climate change in the Asawa group.
And that is absolutely the whole purpose behind the establishment of this program, is to capture the talanoa, the stories of our Pacific people who are feeling the impacts of climate change, rising sea levels, and various disaster. Asaili Ratuwara from FBC's Radio Fiji 1. I understand that I've been with Maliki from our previous trips, but he's joining me in this trip to the Asawa Group of Islands. Asaili, how has been the experience like being to some villages that are affected by rising sea levels?
Vinaka Joe, to me, it has been an eye-opener. First time for me to visit the outer islands, like in the Asawas, where the problem of sea level rise is so evident in all the villages that we've visited yesterday, 4 of them, and the story is all the same. The high-level sea rise, what changes the villages have experienced during the past years. I've had the privilege of talking to some of the older, some of the elders in the 4 villages, and to share their experiences regarding this topic of climate change. We've been also taken to places here, the seaside, experiencing for ourselves the effect of climate change these villages are facing on a day-to-day basis. The challenges they are facing and what they are doing to counter these challenges and continue to live a normal life. We may look at it as a normal day-to-day life, but deep inside, when we really dig deep, they are struggling within. But they are not showing these struggles. We're so grateful to these resilient people of our outer islands, far away from the main islands of Fiji, to see them live their day-to-day lives as if everything is normal. But as my colleague from the Bar Provincial Council has said earlier, it's not a joke anymore. It is so serious that we need to be doing something about it right now.
This is no joke, and an immediate intervention and action is greatly needed in order for the villagers to ensure that they are protected from the impacts of climate change. And the resilient is what or something that is keeping them going on a daily basis, and how they adapt to ensure that they continue with their daily chores, especially heavily engaged with marine related activities. I know, Fred, that in 2022 we visited northern part of Yasawa, Nambukeru, Nabutua and Tamusua, but this time around we combed a few villages on the islands that's located the lower part of Yasawa, Naviti Island, Waya, as well as Viwa. And we've learned so much takeaways, and we will continue to share these experiences and Talanoa as we continue with the program over the next few weeks right here on Pacific Prepared. And that was Mr. Epara Malamba from the Mba Provincial Council Office and Asaeli Ratuara from FBC's Radio Fiji 1 sharing their stories, sharing their insights, as well as some of the takeaways from our visits in the Asau Group of Islands over the past few days.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
2 weeks ago, we heard from the director of Fiji's Weather Office, based in Namaka, about how they closely follow and monitor the weather, especially tropical depressions and tropical cyclones.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. And we also heard about the sacrifices that the weather technical officers make to make sure that that information is timely and accurate, and it's distributed to people in the public, of course, who need it the most.
It will be even more interesting to hear from someone who closely monitors the weather, but is based on an isolated island. There is a weather there is a weather officer based at the Viwa Met office in the southwestern part of the Asawas. She feeds or supply her findings to Fijians right across Fiji through Fiji's National Weather Office in Namaka. That's next to Nandi.
Okay, well, let's hear from Talia Tabu, a weather officer based in Viwa Island, as she sort of shares the experience of analysing the weather and providing those situation updates from one of Fiji's most isolated islands.
Bulwinaka, and hello to everybody. I'll introduce myself. My name is Tulia Tambu. I'm originally from Nambawalu on Kandavu, and I have been stationed in one of the 10 odd stations, and that is in Viwa Island, Nyasawa. My daily work here in Viwa is to report or check on the weather changes and climate changes within the island of Viua. I'll be looking at the temperatures as well as the cloud or the rain, and as well as marine, to inform the villagers in type of weather phenomena that's approaching within the Yasawa area or the western area, as well as to prepare them if there's a cyclone or a low pressure that can affect their living area.
You know, moving from the main weather office in Namaka and coming out here on Viua Island, what are some of the highlights or the changes you've seen?
As for me, I started in the Nandi Namaka weather station in Nandi. Before I was been transferred to Viua Island. I've been working there as a shift worker, mostly having reports. We make reports for HQ in Nandi. There's reports for airports and boats. And when I'm transferred to the island here in Viua, this is a big challenge, and there's also a big changes for me, since I don't do this hourly report. I actually just do the 3-hourly reports, and for these 3-hourly reports, I have to face some challenges like the means of connections of networks or lack of connectivity within this area in Viua to the mainland. So obviously I have to send my reports not by internet but by telephone lines, mobile lines, and sometimes the connections here in the island is low or no connection or no service at all. And carry forward, we'll have to find a way to see that it's connected. So I'll be coming out of my station down to the sea lines or the seashores just to see if there's connections to my mobile line, so I can give my report to the office. But as of last year, I'm grateful that I was given as one of the station to activate on a Starlink. So I am being given a Starlink to give my report to the station, which makes it easier, as well as means of carrying my report and getting information on cyclones or tropical phenomena that comes if it comes across Viua Island. So the challenges I had to encounter was to get information. As I've said before, I need to call them to know if there is, as well when I'm actually doing report, I know that temperatures tend to increase and the heat is actually increasing every day. And as well in Viua, when there's no rain, we may have feel that there's a cyclone coming, since the villagers are always heading to my quarters and asking, is there a cyclone or a is there a weather coming? Because they seem to know that the heat is increasing, and as well as the marine, they see, when the boys goes out to sea and find that there's less fish or there's heat that they feel. So that's where they come and ask. So I'm always have to inform them that I have to get the report from the office. Then that's where I get the report from the forecasters on the weather that's coming across. Especially, for example, the TC Ermil just went by and was running across this this line. This viewer was actually near to the southwest of that cyclone. So, yes, it's like I said, I was happy that there was a Starlink in the station. So I was actually just communicating online and checking this internet and our website just to get an update and give it to the village head, so that he can give it to the villagers on informing them whatever should come down. The shutters should come down, houses should be fixed, pulled together, so that this wind coming by will not affect the homes. So, yeah, I kind of feel that I'm especially being left alone here and families at home. So I was just giving to it. So if I have to inform them at home, I'll give them a call just to tell them just to prepare yourself, keep yourself safe, as well as doing the same here. And I'm happy to have these village heads and their family are always there to help me with sending message to these villages and telling them that they should just put down whatever thing that they know or houses that they can fly through this. So as the CEO was passing by, I was happy that the villages was actually prepared, and I was coming around checking them as well, but and they were all okay. So I was grateful that they did take it in. They didn't ignore my warnings, but they did take it in and keeping themselves safe. If I have to continue with these services on preparing themselves, I'm always grateful that when I have to ask if I could prepare just a short summary on speech or message across, so I would like to ask the village head if I could just do that, a display to them and give them a like an information or on pamphlets on us to tell them that they should be preparing this, especially when there's a like if there's a cyclone or anything, plus accidents to happen, and so all of that I would like them to prepare themselves. So mostly I would tell them please always prepare like food stocks. First aid is the first thing because people can get hurt. We don't know when and where, but whenever there's a cyclone, expect it that someone might get hurt in that transition. So food will also be lacking, especially when there's a cyclone. Boats are not running back and forth, and food sources in the village may minimize it. So in that case, I'm always trying to tell them that when you know that there's a cyclone coming, or you can hear your radios or hear it from home, just know that this is what you should prepare, especially your food stock for your children or your grandchildren that you are looking after here. And be aware that there is a weather lady here, or there's a weather officer here that you can ask if the information is right or wrong, because most people, they intend to call and give a misled information. Eh? As for me, I would like to inform or a little advice that I know my work is not easy. It always has challenges, and it always has these difficulties we face. But as we always keeping ourselves calm and the help of the villagers, I'm happy to say that even though there's cyclones coming, on, it's a cyclone seasons, but then we have heat and strong winds at times, and very strong rain as well, but mostly heat. Eh? And it's just that when it's this kind of cyclones here in the outstations, that to keep yourself aware is just keep yourself safe is just to prepare yourself to know that when there's changes in this heat, this after the heat there's always a rain. So I would like to inform everybody that keeping yourself safe and secure is just to let yourself know or lead in information, get information or ask as for this village, they're always coming to ask in need of what they should do or what is coming. I'm grateful and to help them. So the leading hand to them as well, they are helping hands as well. So it's always a challenge, but it's always grateful to be helpful and supportive of the, each other when in this, especially here in this Viewer Island, and it's isolated from the rest of the village. So I think my only support is to always be bind together with them and helping them in any ways you can, I can to do.
And that was Ms. Tulia Tambu, the technical assistant officer at the VIWA MET station southwest of Yasawa. Thank you so much, Tulia, for the work you've done so far, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
On next week's show, the Solomon Islands farmer who had a vision. As a young person, the things that you learn can often stick with you for life, no matter what you go off and do in the meantime. It's those things that really stay in the back of your mind.
Frank Tabai from Solomon Islands said he had a vision, something that he could see, and that was a farm. Tall coconut trees in neat rows for almost as far as you could see, Fred.
Pacific Prepared reporter and Tivoli News journalist Jeremy Guao had a chat with Frank to find out more.
We started doing farming because our parents taught us, even though when we do not yet go to school, our parents used to work in garden, planting taros and planting banana, yam and taro, these local traditional food crops. Yeah, my name is Frank Tabai. I came from northeast Malita, Ward 10 Takwa, Low and Balela Constituency, Malita Province. It's something that I loved it because I used to work with my parents on subsistence farming. So therefore, I'm coming home, and that's what I really like to do. Therefore, I get into what where I already get into the system. Yeah, so let me become something that I just go back and do what now my parents are doing at home for like growing foods for basic livelihoods. So I really loved it. That's why I'm doing it.
Thanks to Pacific Prepared reporter and Tivoli News journalist Jeremy Guao for that story from Solomon Islands. The full story on next week's program.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
And that's the end of another episode of Pacific Prepared. Thank you so much, Pinaka Vakalevo, for listening in. And it's an honor and such an experience to be out here once again in one of Fiji's authentic group of islands, the Asawas, whole of this week. And we are wrapping things up today before we return to Vitalevu mainland tomorrow.
Nice, Joe. You're really looking the part there in your shirt. And I assume you're looking out to the ocean as we speak, as we're recording this show today. I hope you've enjoyed it, Joe, and we'll get to hear more about it in the following weeks anyway. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Fred. I've thoroughly enjoyed this trip, and thank you so much for having me on the show this week. I'll talk to you again next week. Until then, stay safe. Nisamwa Damanda.
Thanks, Joe. Vinaka.
Vinaka.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.